Our discussion is on parenting in the 21st century with Jeff Schott, author, researcher, counselor. Jeff, in the first segment, you were talking about escape behaviors. That's a term I guess I haven't heard before. I know if something I think about growing up and being high school age, and if things weren't great at home, maybe you want to hang out with your friends for a while, get the support of peers. But we have so many other escape behaviors that are possible now, and the internet, I think, has made a lot of that possible.
Yeah, I think, escape behavior is kind of a thought process out of psychology or out of counseling. And I'm not a licensed counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a dad who has spent a ton of time talking to thousands of kids and learning how to see things through their eyes. And what I find is that, you know, the kids don't understand why they're behaving the way they're behaving. The parents don't understand why they're behaving the way they're behaving, and therein lies the problem, is that we're looking at the behavior and we're not coming to a deeper understanding. And so when kids get hurt and hurts pile up because there isn't a good resolution process in the home for kids to bring up their hurts with their parents and everything kind of flows downhill, then they pile that up inside. They begin to distance emotionally from their parents. And they have to replace that. They need to feel loved and accepted, like they fit in. And so they have to replace it with something. And so they'll replace it with friends. But today, they're not often allowed to go hang out like we once were, because parents are more fearful of what can go wrong and what can happen to a kid today in our society. And so they end up hanging out through social media. They end up hanging out through playing video games on the, Xbox Live. They're talking to each other while they're playing. And that's become their form of hangout. Is it as healthy a form of hangout? No. But it allows them to escape the sense of being disconnected from their family, where they used to feel close to their parent. Now they don't. And so they can feel successful in social media by getting followers, or they can feel successful and loved by being good at video games and having admiration of people there, when they really, what they want, what they need, what they're asking for is more involvement from their parents in their lives. Believe it or not, that's what Notre Dame's study showed. Mm-hmm. But they want a different kind of involvement.
Mm-hmm. I program an Americana radio station called The Train. And Americana artist Greg Brown recorded a song some years ago called "If You Don't Get It at Home, You'll Go Looking." And it sounds like the behaviors we're talking about are reflective of that idea that if you don't get the love and support and care and compassion from mom and dad, you go finding it. And you find it in relationships with other people. But today, the primary place to go is the internet.
Right.
And there are a lot of temptations on the internet beyond playing video games.
Unfortunately, pornography has become a rampant issue, not just with boys, but with girls. And that's the thing that often surprises
us. We think that's with adults, but you're saying it's with kids?
I'm regularly finding girls age 10, 11, 12 participating, addicted to pornography. I'm regularly finding girls age 10, 11, 12, 13, because they've been desensitized by watching pornography for 12 to 18 months, that's where they lose the inhibition and start sexting. And, it's not that long ago that I sat with a very young teenage girl who, walked into the light and said, "Yeah, I'm sending pictures of myself to a bunch of boys." And this is a good Christian girl in a good Christian home. And the parents had no idea.
So viewing pornography seems like it's the predicate to getting to getting to sexting and other behaviors that are very negative on a kid.
Right. Well, the challenge for girls, boys are men are better at compartmentalizing their lives, which in one way is good and one way is bad. Every strength has an equal and corresponding weakness, right? But with girls, they're not good at compartmentalizing. So the pornography really tears down their self-identity. How they view themselves, how they view their body, how beautiful they are. I was shocked 10 years ago in the research when I was looking at the college transition. I was sitting and talking to a girl and I said, "What surprised you your first week on campus?" And she said, "Coming out of my dorm room and onto the floor, and I'm on an all-girls floor, and all the doors had pictures of basically naked women on them." And this was a girl's floor. And she's like, I'm so confused by this. And she said, you know, I finally got to know enough of them. And I finally went in and I realized, you know, they were hanging out with guys. Guys were coming out of their rooms in the morning. I said, why do you put those pictures up? Well, we realize we're not as beautiful as the girls in the pornography they watch. We watch it too. And so we put the images on the outside of the door so that it'll help get the guy in the mood to do something with us when they come in, because we're not as pretty as those girls. That's how destructive it can be.
So it sounds like casual sexual relationships are part of this dual lifestyle behavior too.
Yeah, I'd say it's way more prevalent than the 70s that we think of, you know, free love. I would say, you know, we've moved past – it's not about love anymore. You know, you see the movies, Friends with Benefits, you know. Yeah, that whole culture has just completely dramatically shifted the view of youth related to intimacy.
Is that movies, television, internet based? Is it all those things?
It's just a shift to. We're dealing with kids that are postmodern. We're dealing with kids that view the world very differently than their parents. There's a cultural divide between parents and kids today, mm-hmm. and kids are looking more at community, authenticity, relationship to define what's real and what isn't real. They're looking at experience, where our generations were more, what does knowledge say? What does science say? What does evidence say? What does higher education say? We based ourselves based upon information. In fact, they've decided, and it's a shift that happened many, many years, you know, 70 years ago in Europe, they've decided, wait a minute, information and science keeps changing. One year milk's good and one year milk's bad. You know, go down the line of all the things, you know, we had global cooling in the 70s and we were going to die because of global cooling. And now we've got global warming, we're going to die because of that. You know, all of this science, they've come to distrust all of this information. So they look at relationship, community, authenticity to define what's real. And so as a result of that, you know, so much shifts in the way they look at the world and the way they look at relationship. And then you add to that the pornography and all the other things, and things can get pretty skewed pretty quickly inside our kids, and often without any idea that it's happening. That's the scary part.
Well, the scary part too, being a parent myself, I have adult children, but if I were facing things like this today, I'd say I'm completely unequipped to deal with this. Jeff, help.
Yeah,
can you get on the phone? Come to a seminar.
Right. Yeah. Bottom line. Yeah. I was on a phone with a mom yesterday from California that said, Jeff, help. You know, what do I do? I have a 9-year-old whose anger is just spiraling out of control.
A nine-year-old.
Yeah. And that's not uncommon. You know, right around age 7, 8, 9, 10 is when you'll see the impacts of things that have piled up inside them come bursting to the scene as adolescence comes in, because adolescence actually occurs 18 months prior to puberty. So as early as age 8 or 9, you can have a kid enter adolescence, and there's huge changes that happen in the brain that oftentimes parents will go, what happened to my sweet kid? What happened is the changes in the adolescent brain. And we see those problems that start to erupt as problems we have to fix with strategies of parenting little kids that honestly have led to a lot of the hurt that have built up that's causing this eruption. But the reality is their brain has changed. The activity in their frontal lobe has decreased. And as a result of that, their emotional regulation drops, their decision-making changes, their ability to plan drops, their short-term memory is affected. And so they become oppositional. They become more emotional. They push back. They talk back. And we see all of these things as behavior problems we have to fix, but they're actually a function of what happens in the brain. And we can actually cost ourselves the relationship with our kids trying to fix things that are just part of the natural development process of a kid. And I've often wrestled with, why did God design the brain to do this? And bottom line, we've redefined childhood in the last 100 years in all the developed nations. They used to be viewed much more like adults when they were 13. George Washington was 13 years old when he went out to survey the land by himself for the first time. And so we redefine childhood, and so we're bringing these parenting strategies into a period where they used to be seen much more like adults, where they were, you know, let's just look at the Bible for a second. Mary was 13 or 14 when she had Jesus and was married to Joseph. And so this redefinition has caused us to look at our kids and say, you're a child still. And their brain is saying, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be breaking away. And the brain evidence is saying they learn more through independence than they do through control. They learn more through positive experiences than they do negative. And yet when you look at what we've been trained to do as parents, it's pretty much the inverse of that.
You're listening to Parenting in the 21st Century with Jeff Shutt. More in a moment.